Stories told of four high school boys who couldn't resist the temptation to skip morning classes. It was that time of year. Each had been smitten with a bad case of spring fever. After lunch, they showed up at school and reported to their teacher that their car had had a flat tire. Much to their relief, she smiled and said, "Well, you missed a quiz this morning, so take your seats and get out a pencil and a piece of paper." Still smiling, she told them to take seats apart from each other, and as she waited, they settled down and got ready for her questions. Then she said, "First question, which tire was flat?" People tend to like lies when they offer them some advantage. But when the lie exposes them, it's quite uncomfortable. Untruth is of the very essence of the devil's character. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, John mentions the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And in two places in Revelation chapter 20, John mentions Satan deceiving the nations. John 8 verse 44 that was read just moments ago tells us that the devil is the father of lies. The lie is the devil's principal tool. The lie is the devil's primary weapon. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, "I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Persuading us to accept something as true that is patently false is the means by which Satan influences us to go against what we know to be God's will. Every sin is committed on the basis of some lie that the devil has promoted. The familiar account in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, says the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The lie at the root of a particular sin may not be obvious, but it's always there. And it's in the devil's interest to keep us from seeing it. And there's usually more than one lie at work in any given situation. And so seeking to understand the untruths in any situation is key to defeating sin. Sometimes we behave in ways that confound us. We become frustrated, we become perplexed, and we feel it would really help if we knew why we do what we do sometimes. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" We sometimes struggle to eliminate faults and foibles from our lives, seemingly with little success. Sometimes we may feel helpless in the face of temptation. But for anything that's a struggle, there is some payoff that we're getting. A payoff that, at least in the short run, is more pleasurable than giving up the thing that we're struggling with. For example, someone has an anger problem. They may say, "I don't understand why I get angry all the time, why I get so upset about things. I hate getting angry. I lose my temper several times every day over trivial matters. I really wish I could stop. But a question to ask would be, what's the payoff? What do you gain from getting angry? What's in it for you? Some answers might be, well, it usually stops others from arguing with me. It makes me feel like I won the argument. It shuts other people down. It establishes who rules the roost around here, who is in charge, or at least it makes me feel that way. It helps me get my way. You see, there's always a payoff. But the question is, are these benefits worth alienating others? Is the payoff worth the disrespect that it breeds and the resentment that it fosters from those around you? The atmosphere of bitterness, the atmosphere of fear that this behavior creates. In the midst of these kinds of difficulties, we always need to be aware of how we are buying into the untruth that is influencing our behavior, the false premise on which we are acting. Sinful behaviors, wrong behaviors, are always rooted in deceit. Hebrews 3, verse 13, the apostle said, I understand Paul said, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Jesus met temptation with truth. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, we're told, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to Jesus. Each temptation was a lie wrapped up, packaged in an element of truth. Each temptation promised some reward, some benefit, while simultaneously ignoring the harm, refusing to consider the damage that would come from the behavior. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is a wonderfully liberating force. Few things can be any more challenging than trying to help others with difficult personal problems. If you happen to have observed, personally witnessed some things that they are struggling with, that's one thing. That makes it easier. But if you're relying solely on information that is gleaned from them, that can be quite a bit more difficult when trying to help them. It can be like peeling an onion. Not only do you have to investigate one layer after another, but it's often uncomfortable. And the whole process is made more difficult because you're having to rely on the person's honesty, the person's transparency, the person's own self-diagnosis, which is sometimes everything but honest and transparent. I'm not trying to be cynical. I don't have to try. It comes quite naturally. But it's quite astonishing how often people who seek help and who seem to want to be helped, it's astonishing at how often they go to great lengths to hide the very truth which is essential to help them. It's like, help me fix the problem while I use every tool at my disposal to hide the problem from you. They will use deflection, they will use projection, they will blame others, maybe even you. They will use every defense mechanism known to man plus a few more. They will equivocate. Equivocating is defined as using ambiguous language so as to conceal the truth or to avoid committing oneself. Now, if someone is trying to avoid dealing with the problem, it's easy to understand why they would use ambiguous language so as to conceal the truth or to avoid committing oneself. But when they are trying to get rid of the problem, when they insist that they are trying to get rid of the problem, when they indicate that they want to get rid of the problem, why would they do that? Well, there are a variety of reasons. One might be pride. It could be due to the fact that they want to convince themselves and you that they really want to stop the behavior, while in truth they're actually not ready to do so. Decades ago, a preacher, when I lived in Missouri, this goes way back in the 80s, mid-80s, he was a visiting preacher preaching a meeting, and he confided in me that when he was younger, when he was a young man just beginning to preach, that he preached a meeting somewhere. I'll call this man Glenn. And Glenn preached a meeting somewhere, and I think he had dinner with some people maybe the first night of the meeting, and the man confided in him that there was a member in that congregation. And he identified him by name and identified him to him. He was the guy who sat here. Oh, yeah, you met, and so forth. And he said, I know for a fact that he keeps beer in his refrigerator. Well, this young preacher acknowledged to me that he knew he handled it wrong, that he should have said, well, then you need to go talk to this man according to Matthew 18 and so forth. Instead, the next time he got up to preach the next night, he talked on hidden sins. And he openly, powerfully stated, I know for a fact that there's somebody in this congregation who keeps beer in his refrigerator. During the invitation song, another man came forward. Glenn was a bit confused. A different man came forward and confessed that he had been keeping beer in his refrigerator. And when he spoke to Glenn moments later, he said, how did you know? Maybe he never had people in his home. Maybe it's impossible that anybody could have known. And then after services, Glenn was standing at the doorway, and the man who was actually guilty of this walked by, smiled, shook his hand, and said, wonderful lesson. There's something in there somewhere, a point. The person who will accurately and openly and transparently admit their flaws is more rare than he should be. But even then, once the problem has been identified, it can still be a serious struggle to overcome it. But the point is, it will never be overcome without first being accurately diagnosed. It's like going to the doctor. He's going to ask you what's wrong. He's going to get as much information from you as he possibly can, because he cannot begin trying to fix the problem unless he first knows what the problem is. And so, just as with our own problems, again, truth is the key to setting others free from the sins that oppress them. Helping others overcome difficulties amounts to helping them see where they have bought into concepts that are false, uncovering the lies that are the root of the problem. Repentance requires knowing the truth and on that basis coming to our senses. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, Paul said, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." Perhaps the prodigal son serves as the classic example of this. After wasting everything, after making a mess of his life, after finding himself in the pit of despair, Luke 15:17 tells us that he came to his senses. He faced the truth of what he had done. He faced the truth of where it had gotten him. He faced the truth of what he needed to do. And only then was he able to begin to fix the problem. Those who are lost, those who are in sin, have always, in one way or another, substituted untruth for truth. That's what got them where they are. You don't get lost without taking wrong turns. Romans 1:21 through 25, Paul says, "Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." No one ever rejected the gospel for a good reason. Whatever keeps anyone from obeying the truth is a lie. And being saved comes down to learning the truth, then turning around, if you will, and obeying the truth. In Acts 26, verses 17 and 18, Paul said that he had been sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, Peter said that Christians had purified themselves by obeying the truth. You have to learn the truth. You have to be willing to turn yourself around and obey the truth. You don't fix things by obeying lies. You don't find salvation by obeying untruths. But the fact is, not everyone loves truth. And this is a hard thing for truth lovers to understand and to accept. Upon hearing the truth, many people will find clever ways of clouding the issue. They will often resort to the behaviors we mentioned earlier. They will use deflection and projection. They will use defense mechanisms. They will equivocate, using ambiguous language so as to conceal the truth or to avoid committing oneself. It has been said that there are none so blind as those who will not see. And if the truth be told, all of us have been blind like that at some point in time. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear about it. Several decades ago, Fleetwood Mac sang, "Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies." Often we prefer to hear lies rather than to hear the truth. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul talked about the time when he talked about the time would come when people will not put up with sound teaching or sound doctrine. He says, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Why would anyone do this? Because most people love the easy way. Most people prefer spiritual darkness to light. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Satan's effort is to bewitch us, to confuse us, to lie to us, to mislead us. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In Galatians 3 and verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? In the vast majority of cases, the basic lie of the devil is the one which makes the short run look like the only thing to be considered. What matters right now? What about this moment? This will give me an advantage. This will help me look better in other people's eyes. This won't really matter. Who will know? Who really cares? I think I'm now too old to change. Everybody has their flaws. Satan is a master of presenting to us only a part of the truth, hiding the end of the road from us, hiding the downside of an action, hiding the full consequences. This is the essence of fraud. Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 4, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. He says in verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Truth is what can set us free. Jesus said in John 8, 32, you will know the truth, and the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For our own sake, for the sake of those around us, is there any better reason to study our Bibles diligently so that we may grow in wisdom and discernment, so we will not be blinded by Satan's lies? The psalmist said in Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. If you are ready to step out of the darkness and into the light, you can begin the journey of seeking truth and turning away from falsehood.